music on the platform. As we open the Word of God today, we want to look at the truth in a place called heaven. There are many passages of Scripture that I would like to read to you, and I really could preach this message just by reading Scripture. You have the book of Revelation. I want you to turn that in your Bible to chapter 1 of Revelation, because it reveals to us what the Lord has in store for those that love Him. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm reading from the NIV version. It says this: I turned around, and the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash about his chest. His head and hair were white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters, and his right hand came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its brilliance, and I fell at his feet. And then if you'll turn with me to chapter 19, verses 11 to 16, the same kind of picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven standing open, and there was one before me, was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And his name was written on him that no one knew but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he will strike down the nations. He will rule them with the iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, and on his robe and on his thigh is a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would take the Word of God and cause it to burn in our hearts, that we would be thrilled with the things that you have prepared for them that love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll talk to you about heaven this morning. We're going to highlight a few things about heaven. Not everything, because it would take a message that's about an hour and a half. And Noel asked me to preach a short message, so I'm going to preach a short message. But I want you to focus your attention on heaven. Everybody seems to know about heaven. Everybody has a concept of heaven in their mind. As a matter of fact, Muslims have a concept of heaven that if you die as a martyr, or if you kill somebody in a jihad, then you will go to heaven, and you as a man would have 72 virgins. Now, I don't know what that's all about, because Solomon would find that kind of a cheated thing, because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. But the Word of God never tells us we're going to have 72 virgins in heaven. Nor does it tell us those kinds of things, but it tells us a lot about what's going to take place in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's a place that God has prepared for them that love Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, God says this: No eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has prepared a place for those who love Him. And that's important for us to understand. We have some important books, I think, that were helpful. One book is a very thick volume. I didn't bring it with me. It's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. It's probably the most in-depth study of heaven. And he looked through many commentaries and many of the Bible dictionaries, and he found most commentators reserve only one page or two pages for heaven. They'll talk three or four pages about hell, and they'll talk about everything else in theology, but heaven is limited to one or two pages. And perhaps that's because we haven't had our mind set on heaven. In today's world, we don't talk much about heaven. We don't think much about heaven. And we certainly don't anticipate heaven. You see, we are comfortable in this life. And this life, to many of us, is heaven down below. And so we don't want to think about heaven far off. And yet heaven is not far off. Heaven is just a whisper away. Heaven is just a breath away. Heaven is just a heartbeat away. Everyone who is seated here is one day going to breathe your last breath. Your heart is going to stop. Everyone. There's no exceptions. And in that moment, you're going to be separated from your body, and you're going to go to a place in eternity. And God has prepared a place for those that love Him called heaven. It's not a place for everyone. The Word of God says He's prepared that place for those that love Him. That is, you need to come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that your trust is in Him. Jesus said many will come to Him in that day and say, "But Lord, we did so many wonderful works. We went to church and we did all these things. We thought we were doing right." And Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." See, what gets you in heaven is not what you have done on earth. It's what Jesus has done for you. And you have claimed Him as your Savior. You cling to Him and trust Him as your Savior and Lord. And that's how you get to heaven. One of my favorite authors is Mark Twain, and he has some great humor, and sometimes he mocks religion. And in the story of Huckleberry Finn, he talks of heaven. He talks about the spinster Miss Watson, who took a dim view of Huck's fun-loving spirit. And according to Huck, he says, quote, "And she went out and told me all about the good place. She said all a body would do there was all day long go around singing with a harp, forever and ever. So I didn't think much of it. I asked her if she reckoned Tom Sawyer would go there, and she said not by a considerable mite. I was glad about that because I just wanted to be with him, and we'll be together." So many of us have some false ideas about what heaven is like. I remember a friend in college was saying, "I'm not sure I want to go to heaven because I don't play a harp and I don't like to sing." If your view of heaven is only that you have a harp and you'll sing, then you have a dim view of heaven. I want to give you some information about heaven that's in the Word of God, and you can look up many of these passages yourself and find the proof of heaven. Seven truths about heaven that I think are important. Number one, where is heaven? Where is heaven? Well, heaven is not here below. There are three heavens. The first one is the one we see around us. You look at the sky and the clouds, that's heaven. The second heaven is beyond the clouds, beyond the sky. It's called the expanse of the universe. That's the second heaven, according to Jewish tradition. And the third heaven is a place where God dwells. It's outside the universe. It's outside of our realm. It's another dimension completely. We don't know where it's at. We can't get there. We can't spy it out with telescopes. It's beyond our view. But God has prepared that place for those that love Him, that once we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we die, that moment, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be immediately present with the Lord. That means in a twinkling of an eye, in a snap, we're going to be in that place called heaven. It's the place where God dwells, where the angels live. It is called the place that's up. All through Scripture it talks about up. Elijah was taken up to heaven. Jesus ascended up to heaven. And all through we find that heaven is up somewhere, but way beyond the blue. It's out there somewhere. We can't find it. We can't discover it. I laughed when I heard one of the first Russian cosmonauts that went into space. He looked around and he said, "I didn't find God up here. There is no God." My friend, you're looking in the wrong place if you're looking in this universe for God, because He's beyond what we see. Second, what is heaven like? We're all interested in what is heaven like. It is not an idea that you're going to go up to heaven and you're going to be an angel, you're going to float around with wings, and you're going to play on a harp, and you're just going to sing all the time. How many of you don't like to sing? How many of you can't sing? Well, when you get to heaven, you will sing, because the Word of God tells us that in heaven there will be singing. And you need to understand that God has prepared a place that is called paradise, that is beyond our description, is beyond anything that we can imagine. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." There's a wonderful book by Don Piper. When I was pastoring in Grove City, we had Don Piper come and speak to us. Don Piper tells the story of his own death. He was in a severe accident coming home from a conference, and he died. He was in an automobile accident. He was crushed, and when the MTs got there, they checked him, and they found out he was dead. And so they put a tarp over him. And while they did that, they were getting all the ambulance and everything and trying to extract him from the car. A Baptist pastor happened to be going by, and as he went by, the Lord told him, "Go pray for that man." So he approached the MTs and he said, "Can I pray for that man?" And they said, "There's no sense praying for him. He's dead. He's gone. We've checked him." And he said, "Well, God told me to pray for him. Can I pray for him? I'm a pastor." And they said, "No, you can't. Just stay away from the car." But he insisted. He said, "God told me to pray for him." So finally they went in, they checked him again and said, "He's dead, but go ahead and pray." So he leaned over, he actually crawled into the car and leaned over on top of the blood and the gore and touched the man. And as he prayed for him, he began to weep. And then he began to sing. And as he sang, he heard the man that was in the car begin to sing along with him. And Don Piper was alive. Later, after his recovery, Don Piper told us what happened during those 90 minutes that he was dead. He said, "I went to heaven. And I want to tell you about it." And it's just in this book. I would like to spend the rest of the time just reading this book, but I won't. But he tells us some wonderful things about heaven. We don't get our information about heaven from Don Piper, but it agrees when he says what he experienced, it agrees with the Word of God. It agrees with the Word of God. He said when he arrived in heaven, there was a beautiful gate. It was pearl-like. He said that it was like somebody sprinkled pearls all over it. And everything was glistening. Everything glowed. He said that was the brightest light he'd ever seen. And all the colors were vibrant, more than he'd ever seen in his life before. And he said this was astounding. And as he looked around, he saw all the people that he knew that had known the Lord in their lives. And they were gathering around him, cheering and praising God and welcoming him to this place called heaven. And as the crowd moved, he said, it was moving along and he could see the people that had passed away. He said, my great-grandmother was there. She was an old American Indian. He said, her face was all wrinkled in life. But he said, when I saw her there in heaven, her face was still wrinkled, but it was somehow smoothed out. And she was smiling and her teeth, which were yellow and cavity-ridden in life, were bright and shining and white as snow. And she glistened with the presence of the Lord. And then he went around the room and described the people that were there and how they were like they were on earth, but so much different because they were perfect. They were not imperfect. And he described what he heard. He said, then I heard sounds. He said, I heard the sound of whooshing, like wings. He said, I can't describe it, but it was like wings flapping. And it was a beautiful sound. It just kept rumbling around us. And then I started to hear music. And he said, it was like no music we've ever heard on earth. It wasn't the choruses we sing. It wasn't the hymns that we sang. It was something that was praising God. And he said it was seemed to be coming out of heaven itself. And the very clouds around us in the sky was echoing with the voices of praise. And he said, I looked around. Nobody was singing, but the songs went on. And he said, they were beautiful songs that I have never heard. And he said, then I found myself singing the same songs, even though I never learned them. And as he moved with the crowd toward the gate, he was approaching the gate. And he said, as I approached that great gate, I could see inside. And I saw the streets of gold. And I saw all the luminescent of heaven. He said it was thrilling. He said, I was not afraid. He said, I didn't remember the past. I didn't think about my wife. I didn't think about my family. I didn't think about the accident. I was in a place where there was total peace. He said, I've never experienced anything like it. It was total peace and joy such as I've never known. And as he approached the gate, he said he took one more step and then suddenly his body was back in that car. And he was back on earth and had to go through that. I encourage you to read the story because it goes far beyond that. What is heaven like? Don Piper describes it. Many others have described it as paradise. The streets of gold, the walls that are precious metals. There's brilliance of colors and trees, a sea of glass. There's a banquet table. There's a river of life. There's fruit of trees. And there's no night there. And there's no sun in their mood because God is the one who lightens heaven. What is heaven like? It's beyond our wildest imagination. I want everybody to take your thinking caps right now and go like this. Put your arm like this. Your head up there. Okay. Think about heaven. Think about what it might be like. And you can do this the rest of the day because you will never be able to discern the greatness of heaven and how wonderful it is. It's beyond description. We have in the Bible those that went to heaven and came back and told us about it. Ezekiel told us about it. Daniel told us about it. John in the book of Revelation tells us about it and describes the greatness of heaven. If you want to read about it, read Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22. It's the best description of heaven. What will we be like in heaven? That's the question all of us really want to know. What will we be like in heaven? Don Piper says the people kind of looked like they did on earth, but they were different. Because God says, when you get to heaven, God's going to give you a new body, a spiritual body. Your body is still here. It's in the grave. And until the resurrection, you will be given a spiritual body in heaven that's probably a mirror image of this, but it will be different than the body you have right now. Let me take a look at you. Some of you need new bodies. I think all of us do. Someone says, well, will I be fat in heaven? Will I be ugly in heaven? Will I be stupid in heaven? No, all of those things are gone. You will be the perfect of what God created you to be. Everyone will be beautiful. Everyone will be perfect in his body, in his mind. You will be able to know things that you didn't know. God says we will know even as we are known. That is in heaven. The revelation of God will be in us. And even though we've had many Bible studies and I have Abby back there, Abby is keeping notes of questions we have about heaven. that we're supposed to ask when we get there. So you take that book to heaven with you so we can ask those questions. But the Word of God says we're going to know even as we're known. So we won't have to ask the question. We will know what we will be like in heaven. Our bodies will be perfect. I'm colorblind. That doesn't mean I can't see colors, but I can't see the vibrance of colors. I can't see the distinguishing colors that you see. I look out of the grass up there, it looks brown. Or what I think brown is, I don't know what green is. You know what green is, and you see vibrance of colors. I don't. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to suddenly see things as you perhaps see them, or even better, because God gives you eyes to see and behold the magnificence of His glory. What will be like in heaven? There will be no more pain. Even Presbyterians can say amen to that.
Amen.
God's going to remove all of the evil of earth, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the diseases is going to be removed from us. And He says there will be no remembrance of the former things. I like that. Because I don't remember. I don't want to remember earth. It's like when we get to heaven, suddenly we're not going to look back at earth. And if we did look back, it would be like we were living in this garbage dump. We were living in this filthy place, and we would never want to go back there because heaven is so glorious. You will be the best that you can be. There will be no more sin, no pain, no disease, no ugly, no fat, no skinny, no dumb, no handicapped, no sweat, no tears. We will be in the presence of God. And the Word of God says we will shine like the firmament of heaven. That means you're going to glow. You're going to glow. Why don't you take a moment and look around you. Chuck back there is in the sun and he's holding a shade over his head because he's glowing. Take that away for a moment. Let's look at your glowing. Oh, look at it. He's glowing. Wow. And heaven is going to glow. Isn't that magnificent that God says you're going to glow in heaven? Now, somebody's going to ask questions about this, and it's good to ask questions about heaven. Somebody's going to say, will we have wings? Will we have wings in heaven? No. God doesn't make us angels in heaven. God makes us full beings that He created us to be. Like Adam and Eve, He created us with perfect body. He's going to restore that perfect body. We will not have wings, but will we be able to fly? Don Piper says, I don't remember if I was walking or not, but I was moving along. So maybe it's just that we get to heaven and we just think ourselves across the room and we move across the room. I like to think that when I get to heaven, I want to explore the universe. I want to go flying through the universe and see some of the mysteries that God has left here. But by the time we get to heaven, we're not going to be thinking about the universe anymore. We're going to be thinking about things ahead of us, things that are before us. And we're going to rejoice in what God has given to us. What will we be like in heaven? It also says that we were going to be clothed in white raiment. And I take great comfort in that. Because when God speaks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes to rapture the church, He said He will come in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump of God, and we will be changed. Isn't that great? We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we'll be caught up together in the clouds with the Lord. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. We will be clothed in white raiment. I always worried about that as a kid. I thought, you know, if Jesus comes and raptures us and our clothes are left behind, there's going to be a moment or two that I'm going to be buck naked in front of everybody going up to heaven. And I don't think that's a very pleasant thing, but God says He gives us a body and He gives us clothing. All right, what will we do in heaven? Well, the first thing God says is we're going to be reunited with the ones that we love. We're going to be reunited with those that have already gone on before. Don Piper describes that, seeing people in his family that knew Christ as a Savior. And they are there and they're waiting for you. I have a daughter that died way back in 1982, and she's going to be there. And even as we sang Scars in Heaven, my heart gets overwhelmed. I think, I'm going to see Amy. I'm going to walk in those streets of gold and I'm going to see Amy. And I'm going to embrace her. We're going to be reunited. I'm going to see Mom and Dad. I'm going to see my grandparents. I'm going to see all of those that knew Christ as Savior. I'm going to see my friend who died when he was 12 years old. I'm going to see some other people that I've known throughout life. And it's going to be a rejoicing of reunion again with them. What will we do in heaven? Well, God says we're going to rest in heaven. Isn't that a comforting thought? God has prepared a rest for the people of God, and we're going to rest in heaven. That doesn't mean we're going to take naps all the time. It means that work will no longer be difficult. You know, the curse that came on Adam and Eve was because of sin, and God said, now you will earn by the sweat of your brow. But when we get to heaven, we will still work for the Lord, we'll still serve the Lord, but we'll be at rest. We will be at rest. And yes, we will sing. I don't have time to read all the passages, but in Revelation it says, there's a great multitude of hosts that surround the throne of God. 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands that gather around the throne of God, and they sing with a loud voice, and they praise and worship the Lord. And he talks about the angels. He said the angels will be there, and there are 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That was the old Greek way of describing an innumerable host, of Googleplex, of how many, you can't count. They're there. The angels will be there, and we will be singing and worshiping with them. There will be celebration in heaven. We just finished a wedding ceremony with my grandson. And Marilyn and I grew up in homes that didn't celebrate. We were holy people. We were kind of like Presbyterians. And you know, the Christian Missionary Alliance, my background comes out of the Presbyterian Church, so we have a lot of traditions. And you don't get too excited about anything. At our wedding, there was no dancing. There was music in the background, but it was just going around visiting everybody and eating. That's what we do. We eat. By the way, you're going to eat in heaven. Did you know that? God says there's going to be a banquet table. Jesus said in Matthew 8:11 that many will come from the east and the west, and they'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they will be at the table of the Lord. So we're going to eat in heaven. We can pig out in heaven. But God has prepared this place for us, and we're going to celebrate. Now, in the wedding that we were at, they did not have alcohol because Matthew and Gabby don't drink, and they didn't want it at their wedding. But the celebration was great. I wish I could show you the videos. Marilyn and I did not get up and dance because we're conservative. But they were dancing, and they were swinging around. They were shouting there, and the guys got in a great big line, and they were dancing and just having a great time. I look at that and think, is that what I'm going to do in heaven? I don't know. But I think the joy of the Lord is going to be so great in heaven that you will not be able to not rejoice with those that rejoice. God says at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That is, in heaven, pleasure is beyond our wildest imagination. The most pleasurable thing you've had on earth is nothing compared to that which is in heaven. He says there are delights in the Lord that will always be there forever and ever. And then He goes on to say, you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means there's going to be overwhelming joy, fullness of joy in the presence of God. God calls it paradise. And then there will be given out rewards and crowns to those that have served the Lord faithfully. And we will take those crowns and we'll throw them at Jesus' feet. And we will say, He is worthy because He has done it all. He receives all the praise and all the glory. And then finally, what will we do? We will have responsibilities in heaven. You didn't know that, did you? You're going to have responsibilities in heaven because God is a purposeful God. He has a purpose for all of us. I've often thought, if God gives out jobs in heaven, I want to clean the streets of gold. I love custodial work, and I want to clean the streets of gold. That's not a humble job for me. That is a great job in heaven. But God's going to give us responsibilities, things that we will do throughout eternity. Now imagine this. We're going to be there forever and ever and ever. Everybody say that with me. Forever and ever and ever. You can keep going. Forever and ever. It's impossible to imagine. How is forever? And it is possible because God says time will be no longer. We will no longer have clocks. We won't have to worry about time. We won't be clocking the years. We won't be saying, I've been here 10,000 years. You won't perceive it. You will just be there and you will be in the presence of God. Who will be there? Well, Jesus will be there. As we read in our scriptures, Jesus will be there in all His splendor and glory. And I love the chapter 19 and verse 11 where it says, Jesus comes riding in on a white horse. Isn't that great, Kim? Jesus has a horse! And He's going to come riding on horses. He says, not only He, but all those that are with Him. And He says, all the saints of all the ages will come with Him riding on white horses. Isn't that thrilling? I've never ridden a white horse. Actually, I did. I was probably about 8 years old, and I chose the white horse that was riding around, and I got on the horse, and suddenly I wanted to be Roy Rogers, so I kicked him with my heels, and he took off. And he took off running. My dad was riding behind trying to catch up to me, and the horse ran right toward a limb. He was trying to kill me. Ran right toward that limb and was going to knock me off. And fortunately, my dad got there in time to grab the reins and pull the horse back. So I'm not looking forward to horses in heaven, but the horses in heaven will be tame. There will be lots of animals in heaven. Did you know that? The lion will lay down with the lamb. And God talks about horses. He talks about rams. He talks about sheep. He talks about all the things that we have on earth will be in heaven, but glorified. And I have a wonder. I wonder if animals will talk in heaven. I don't know. We'll find out. If I get there and can send back a message, I'll let you know about that one. Who will be there? There will be angels there. The angels, more than we can number. And there will be strange beings. God describes them as beings. They have wings, and they have four wings, and wings below, wings above. And just an incredible description of what they're like. And the sound of those that inhabit heaven. Who's going to be there? Those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the most important ingredient. See, not everybody goes to heaven. It's not an automatic thing. You go to many funerals and it's like everybody's going to heaven. My friend, that's not true. God doesn't say everybody's going to heaven. He prepared heaven for those who love Him, those who confessed Him as their Savior, those who received Him as their Lord. They will be there in heaven. And they will be there with the saints of all ages. I look forward to heaven because I want to sit down with some of the old saints of the Old Testament. I want to sit down with Jonah and ask him what it was like in the belly of the whale. I want to sit down with Moses and say, what it was like to spread your arms out over the sea and see it roll up on both sides. I want to sit down with many of the people of the Old Testament and find out those wonderful miracles. Who will be there? All the saints of all the ages. And then number six, what won't be there? Sin won't be there. Evil won't be there. Satan won't be there. Temptation won't be there. Sorrow won't be there. Mourning won't be there. Tears, disease, death, and war will not be there. The former things are passed away, says the Lord. There's no more curse, no weeds, no heat, no cold, no racism, no politics. All of those things will be forgotten, and we will remember them no more. God has prepared a place for those that love Him. The last question is this. How can I be sure that I'm going there? How can I be sure? Well, the world wants to tell you that if you just obey the Ten Commandments and be good, God will be merciful and let you into heaven. That is not the truth of God's Word. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say you'll get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. You should keep them, of course, but they'll not earn you heaven. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, any sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we get there? John 14. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, I know, NIV says rooms. I stick with King James. I want mansions because it's far beyond what we can expect or even realize. In my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And I'm glad for Thomas. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we get there? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. How do you get to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. He is the only door. He is the only gate. He is the only way. He is the truth, the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. There's only one name under which by which we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. And Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means anyone, whosoever believes in Him, whoever trusts in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. That gift is offered to every one of us. Have you received Him as your Savior? Have you invited Jesus Christ into your life? Or have you neglected that? And this morning, I give you the opportunity to just bow your heads with me right now, and let's pray. If you've never done it, you can do it right now and just repeat these words and mean it. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I trust You. I want to go to heaven. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Write my name in heaven so that when I die, I'll go there to be with You. I receive You now as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And God says if you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer, He heard you and He did a transaction with you right now. Your name is written in heaven. And He has given the Holy Spirit to you to dwell in you, to lead you and guide you and to keep you in all your ways.